broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Icon Britney Spears drops a new album and we can't get enough. Fool Nene Leakes thinks it's funny to owe back taxes to the IRS. Rihanna and Drake share a questionable tattoo. And someone dared Mary J. Blige to record a song promoting The View. That and more with Jesse Janity right now. Let the ranting begin. We're back ranting, and today I have a great guest co-host, DJ, host, producer, and comedian. DJ Jesse Janity is here.
What's up?
Anyone that has listened to AfterBuzz, anyone knows Jesse, so it's time to have him on the show and to rant about a bunch of topics, and I'm very excited for the show. So welcome to the panel.
I'm very excited. Thank you for having me, Grant, because I feel like we're always like running past each other at AfterBuzz, and I'm always like, I mean, he loves Housewives so much, I feel like we're connected brothers in a way.
I feel like there's so much to say that we haven't said.
And you're obsessed with Britney Spears.
Yes. And we have
the time has come.
Yes. And happy birthday. Thank you for doing the show on your birthday.
Oh, thank you for having me.
This is a first for the show. Hey. So I appreciate it. Let's talk.
You're lucky. I was almost going to come with mimosas. But I was running late, and I was like, Grant seems like the type of person who's like, he's not on time.
I'm never on time. I was almost going to text you and be like, once I found out it was your birthday, I was like, okay, no, like, we'll do it when he wants to do it. But I was almost going to be like, hey, can you wait a minute?
Like, no, because like I'm like in a place where I'm like, I'm not a birthday person at all.
So
like, it was good because it made me get out the house. Because like last night, everyone was like, oh, let's go out and do something. But it's like one of those things, like if there isn't a definite plan, I'm kind of like, I'm just gonna order Chinese food and watch The Get Down.
Oh yeah, so. I don't blame you for that sense. In that sense, because sometimes nothing happens, or it's just a lousy night.
And then it's like people are complaining about money being spent. It's like I don't have enough money to support people on my birthday.
Right, so. Right. I've done that in the past too, just to have a good time.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Britney. Perhaps an early birthday gift for you.
Yes.
I know you're a huge fan, so am I. I was just saying that I've spent most of the week defending her. A lot of people have a lot to say in a very short time about her, quick to judge her, and very quick to continue the mindset that she is not stable and controlled and off the wagon. And like, yes, was she controlled? Yes, like 8 years ago. She's come a long way. Anyone that's listened to any interview knows that there's someone behind the big hair, behind the extensions now, which I'm very excited about. I listened to almost everything. I've watched almost every video I could find of her, like, showing off at places, and just because I'm really observing. And I'm the biggest Britney defender, Britney army to the very end. Like,
breatheheavy.com.
Yes. So I'll always defend her. You're not going to hear anything negative against her on this podcast at all.
I'm the same way, because honestly, I have defended Britney Spears. I went to college because of Britney Spears, and people always think that's so crazy. Because, like, I'm a very honest Britney fan. I can own up Britney does not have the greatest voice of all. I can own up Britney lip syncs. Like, anyone coming at her for that, it's like, she's on stage knowing that you know this.
Exactly.
She's not Britney Spears because of these things. She's Britney Spears because she's fucking Britney Spears. But my thing is this. I've spent my whole life defending Britney Spears, but I went to college because of her. Because her and Larry Rudolph, to me, are the greatest marketing team ever. Here's a girl who, at the time, came out when Jessica Simpson came out, Christina Aguilera, and out of all of them, her voice was the most mediocre. Why did she do more business? Why was she more successful than those other women? Because she's fucking relatable. There's something about Britney. There's something about her personality. If you watch her career, the way they marketed her, it was very simple. You grew with her with every album. Whereas Christina, she starts out with this cute little, like, when a girl wants, and then all of a sudden it's like, ripping her clothes off.
Yeah.
Jessica Simpson, it's like, okay, you're a church girl, but then you're sleeping with this guy, but then you guys aren't married, and then it's like,
right.
We grew with Britney. Britney was safe. When you sang, Britney made you feel like, I could be that. And so she still has that, even now when we watch her in a struggle. Or her Instagram be cracking me up because she's the most bipolar. It's like, hi, I'm fierce, Britney, bitch. And then she's posting, like, 1920s quotes in front of, like, a thimble. Like, what the fuck are you on?
Corn and fields. And then her kids surfing.
Or doing, like, a Tony Hawk trick or something.
Yeah.
I love her.
I love her too. I'm so glad to see that she's back. And by the biggest thing I've been saying all along is all this criticism, like, oh, like at the VMA she was gonna do something she's never done before. So of course every troll and their brother is like, what you gonna do, sing live? Is that it? Is that it? And I was like, look, she's not Adele. She's a performer. She's a performer. I don't get why people don't understand that. It's so quick to hate on her, and she'll never get the credit that she deserves.
But I also put blame that on her handlers, because I feel like I feel Britney can actually sing, and the people that I've worked with who have worked closely with her have said that. And the only thing that they say is they produce her to sound a certain type of way. They have put it in her head that she can't sing, so she has to do this high-pitched voice because it's not threatening, it's not relatable. If like on Glory, there, I hand it to some of these producers, they did a great job, but there are a few songs on there that I'm like, y'all tweaked this girl's voice too much, and it would have sounded better in her natural range. She has a low range, but they give her this high range.
Yeah,
like if you've ever, like, I don't know if you remember where Dream Within a Dream tour, did you go to that?
I did. I actually did go to that one.
Remember at the end when she would do Every Time, she would take this thing like it was like a she had like this Louisiana kind of song, and she wrote it herself, and she would perform it and actually sing it live, and she had a pretty good voice. And I've always wondered why they never let her sing in that register, or why they pick certain singles like Make Me. Out of all the songs off this album, Make Me,
only because of the G-Eazy tie-in.
And who cares about G-Eazy? Like, that hurt me. That's what hurt me the most out of the Britney performance, is that I felt like her team made her lower herself for this artist that no one really cares about. And for what? When we could have had Circus Electric, or, you know, like an amazing 15-minute... Britney deserved a 15-minute performance.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, the placement of where she was in that show, which I took issue with first, and then I thought about it. I was like, well, nowadays with like digital views and all that, it doesn't matter where they put her in the show. I mean, if anyone's really sitting watching linearly, then yeah, they're going to be fatigued after the other one. But I mean, like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't have anything against Beyonce, but I'm just saying, it was her birthday yesterday, and I spent the day listening to Glory, so...
Wait, so tell me about the VMA. So what did you actually think of the VMA? And then did you see the Good Morning America one?
Or the Today Show? Yeah. Yeah, I saw both. Obviously, the Today Show, where she's in her own stage and her own stuff, where she's so rehearsed, and it's that's going to be different. Of course, this is a totally different thing.
Yeah.
So it's going to be better. The VMA thing, yeah, I mean, look, first of all, I was just upset to begin with because I didn't have internet. This is why the show hasn't been on. I didn't have internet. AT&T, you're a piece of crap. But I got it. I got it. And so I used all the data on my work phone to watch this performance. And it's a long story short, but I watched it. But I had to catch up because everyone was sending me all these text messages with their thoughts. So it was already a little, like, colored a certain way. Like, oh, like, don't get too excited. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, like, I want to be excited. And then I watched it. And I was, because I'm, like, will defend, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's all good. It was all right. Look, I mean, you know, she made a return after a long overdue moment, and I had said for years that they needed to redeem her. However, she should have opened the show. She should have been where she was, where she left off. If they marketed her return the way they did, and they had a couple promos, and I was tweeting them out, and
that promo
into
was
it.
Every. It was like American Horror Story meets like Stranger Things meets Britney. It was like, what?
So good. I mean, it was almost better than some of her other stuff, but she wasn't even in it. But I mean, I thought if you were gonna put that much power behind a huge return like that, and then have G-Eazy hijack it and kind of do his own thing, and then go back to her and be like, oh yeah, she's still here. It was a little like, you know, but that's MTV.
Yeah, well, see, I question if it was MTV or Britney, because I wonder what now. So G-Eazy is Bebe Rexha's boyfriend, who she's a really big singer and sings that song. So I'm wondering if there's some back ties, like they're doing favors for the album, like maybe Bebe's like worked with Britney on Glory or something like that, in which that there was a deal made that Britney was going to fight to get G-Eazy. Because I personally feel like MTV probably didn't want that. I don't know why I have that feeling, but and I feel like it was shade that they put her right after Beyonce too, because I feel like also when Britney won the Vanguard Award and Lady Gaga opened it, which whatever, she's always given Britney credit.
True.
But then it was like, little kids performing for her, right. And it was just kind of like this short little thing where Beyonce, Britney came out, and then all of a sudden it was like a Beyonce show afterwards. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why MTV does this.
Well, I've given up on their production of the VMAs a long time ago. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me. I'm not disappointed anymore. It's those days of the... And this is what I kept saying to my friends, was like, this show lacked surprises. Like, that's what made this show be what it is and have, like, the reputation that it has. None of those performances really had a surprise. Britney could have easily pulled a stunt and didn't.
Yeah.
And that's what she really had to do. If she really wanted to make a return, she had to pull a stunt. And people, you know... I don't know, people could say at her age, does she really have to? But yeah, I think so. You're at the VMAs. They're giving you a platform. Do it.
I also felt like they tried to keep it, like, it reminded me of, remember when Christina Aguilera and Fred Durst did that performance?
When was that?
Back in the day. They did Genie in a Bottle. Or like,
I have to go back and YouTube it.
When Britney and NSYNC did theirs together.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
What I liked that Britney did with G-Eazy was... I felt like it was an ode to the old VMA performances where two artists would come, they would each do a song of theirs and then something together. Mm-hmm. I thought in that aspect of it, I liked it. Because it bridged two people you wouldn't expect together and bam. But
yeah,
that's all we really got.
Yeah.
And then they had Rihanna work in the whole show.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, we're giving you an award. Keep working, girl, all throughout the whole thing.
And I knew, I said, look... The next day, we're going to see the ratings are the lowest that they've been.
Were they?
Again, yeah. Lowest rated VMAs once again. And then you've got people blaming Britney for like an 8-minute performance after the other fools performed the whole time. Yeah.
She looked amazing. The first minute and 15 seconds when she came out behind that thing and then did the hair flip, I was like, yeah!
See, I love when she went down on the floor.
Yeah.
And then she got in front of him and then did the crotch grab.
No, she was giving it. And then, but it was just like, I have this theory in my head that Britney does not want to be Britney Spears, but she knows she has to support her family. And
it's all she knows.
But I also think that she had a coming to Jesus moment. I feel like she knows what she represents.
Mm-hmm.
To pop culture and kid and children, and I think that bothers her, and I think that's why whenever you see her in anything else, she's very super super sweet, very like, I don't talk fresh, I don't do that, but when I'm on stage, that I'm a performer. Mm-hmm. She's very like strict about making sure you understand that is not my life, I do not do this kind of things. I don't know, and that there's something beautiful about that. Like, she's just this average girl who's just been like taken over and taken advantage of.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I always defend her. That girl was abused. She was stolen from. She was used by everyone and their brother. And no one was brought down in the press like she was.
Nope. And the press still uses her. And that's why I thought Circus was such a great album. Because if you really understand who she is and like what the Britney Spears phenomenon is, like that album explains everything. It really gives like a whole tone to her life. And I thought just the way they did it with the tour, I loved it. I thought it was just, I love her so much.
Yeah.
I can't stop talking about it.
I know.
And
right?
Glory is all of that in its glory. And I hope she does a world tour for it. But I don't.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions about that. But she gives the token Britney. It's like, I don't know, I'm open to anything. Like, you're never going to know with her. But yeah, well, I encourage you all to check out the album. It needs the sales, and it's actually really good. I mean,
what's your favorite
really
song?
Is good.
What's your favorite song?
I like Do You Want to Come Over, but I like Liar more than most.
Really?
Yeah, I really like that one. Because it's kind of a little old school to me.
Okay. Yeah.
I like High Energy. Like, some of the stuff, like, I can see why a lot of people like channel, like, they say that channels Blackout. Because, yeah, some of those songs are a little, like, I don't know. I like turn-up music, so.
Oh, I love turn-up music. My favorite one, I really hope that she does a video to it. Is oh my gosh, it's not pulling up fast enough, but I need to find it. I love Better, but Love Me Down.
Oh yeah, I just texted my friend yesterday.
I have a whole video concept, Brittany. So if you're watching this, every morning I listen to it and I envision it.
It's a hot song.
It's so dope.
It's a hot song. All right, we're gonna talk about someone else besides Brittany.
Because we can go the full.
Yeah, we could just keep going, but we need to talk about what I don't even know how to make this transition. Take a left. But NeNe Leakes.
Oh, God. Did she get a new nose?
Is she really broke? Oh. She's facing a federal tax lien. She allegedly owes almost $1 million. $830,000, allegedly, for back taxes from 2014. Now, unlike Britney, who I'm not going to say anything bad about, this one, I can't find anything good to say about her. I don't care about her at all. When I saw this, I was like, I made a Facebook post. I was like, this karma this woman, she was in everyone's face, and now she's real.
I'm rich. Like a jackass. I'm rich.
Now she's
rich.
Looking like a jackass. My favorite type. So I just like a moment where it's like, come on now.
So she. Now, so she did this, and then so someone started a GoFundMe for her? Or she, how did that come?
She made a tweet that she said basically, like, yeah, I'm unemployed, I have no money, someone go start a GoFundMe for me. That was like her, she made that, sent out like two tweets, like, kind of making fun of it. However, this article that I was reading was like, well, she never denied it. There's no denial or anything like that. So she can joke all she wants, but she's got the federal government after her, so.
Well, I mean, we hear this a lot with a lot of celebrities. So, Miss Leaks look like your money bank leaking girl. but, I mean, she put that tweet out there. To me, that's kind of a little bit like, because in the world of shade, she has to put it out there because it's like, I can't let you attack me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, girl, a little 800 something thousand dollars. Ain't no one worried about. Really, girl? Mm-hmm. Sound like you worried. You out here tweeting about it. You should be working, talking about you unemployed.
Yep.
Maybe you should be nicer to people on set.
Oh, please. That woman.
Doesn't she have a... There's a game show coming out with her. Her, Betty White.
Yeah.
I keep hearing about this. Is this something that they're pitching?
It's been on. It's like Password or something like that. It's
it's
one
on?
Of those games. Yeah, it's on like ABC on a Friday night in the summer or something like that. I don't know. It's one of those old school game shows. I have no interest. Again, I need to let her know that she is not an actress. This girl is not an actress. She wants to be known as an actress. She's a personality for a reality show that's been cast on things as a stunt cast. She's not an actress. People aren't pulling her in like she's friggin' Melissa Joan Hart or something. You know what I mean? Like, forget it. Like, she drives me crazy. I don't like anyone that takes themselves that seriously. Especially when you're that much of a clown.
Like, go Celebrity Big Brother UK. Go ahead. Hit it.
Oh, that's next. I hear that is a very good paycheck. Now, she could use the money.
Oh, really?
She could use the money.
I mean,
put it towards the monthly bill that you have to pay now. I mean, really.
Wait, so you're a New York fan, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, wait. So what do you think about the logo show with her? Have you heard it?
Yes. Okay. I'm a little disappointed in New York. She was supposed to be at Penthouse this weekend. Oh. I made plans, went out of my way, took out money so I could get into the cover. And that bitch was a no-show. And then I went on her Instagram, and I'm like literally in the club, and I'm like, all right. She removed the post. So something happened.
The coin wasn't correct.
Yeah, so she is one of the few people that I actually have not seen, and I would love to have some type of interaction. Like, I would go out of my way to have an interaction.
We have to set something up. We got to do, like, a double team AfterBuzz interview with New York.
I would love that. I don't even know where to begin with her. But yeah, New York has come up a lot on this podcast. She's a friend of the show, I like to say.
Okay.
It's necessary. I mean, it's necessary to see her. The logo show, I heard it wasn't sold.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if it's a logo.
Because I know that they're...
Finding Prince Charming is one thing.
Yep.
But then she's got another thing.
And so apparently Logo's looking to pick it up.
Because
they want the balance of... having like the regular Bachelor kind, but then they want their, you know, VH1 be messy a little bit. I'm kind of into it. I would never go on that show. That just sounds like, without putting New York in it, it already sounds like a mess, recipe for a mess. So it's like taking you and your ex-boyfriend, putting you in the house, and then you guys have to date the same group of people. Like,
the worst. What could go wrong?
That's called West Hollywood.
yeah. What could go wrong? And of course, you've got New York stirring the pot, which would just be like the only thing worth watching. Like, they're very smart to put that on there. But yeah, no, I read something that it wasn't picked up yet or something like that. I was surprised because it was all made. Like, it was produced and like, it's just...
So they already shot it.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know.
Well, maybe Logo over here looking.
Yeah, well, it would be good kind of programming. And shout out to Logo for finally figuring out what to program on their network.
Yeah,
and getting
years later now.
Yeah.
Because there are other things than RuPaul's Drag Race, which is an amazing show. Love it.
Yeah. And then just reruns of like...
Noah's Ark.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I'm like, what the hell? Like, this is just like the Viacom like storage facility. Like, I don't know what the hell they're putting on Logo. But yeah, no, shout out to them for finally figuring out programming for a gay and lesbian network. Anyway, let's talk about another couple, Rihanna and Drake. Again, I don't want to talk about the VMAs that much. We've done enough of that. But this is something that's been everywhere, and I want to know what you think. So they had the big, you know, formal, the big gown. Drake proclaimed his love for her. And then now, recently, they got matching tattoos that are of a stuffed animal shark from when she went to go visit him in Toronto, like, a year ago on a date.
This sounds very Britney and K-Fed, and I need it to not happen. Except in this situation, Drake is Britney and Rihanna is K-Fed.
I am for no tattoos, especially matching tattoos. What? I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's just a recipe for disaster.
And you're going to get a tattoo of a stuffed animal. So it's not even going to look true to form. You're literally going to get a stuffed animal on your body. Okay. All right.
That's cute, Riri.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I love Rihanna. Personally, I love Rihanna. She's a sweet girl, you know. I think her mother is very sweet and raised her very well. So it amazes me, you know, but I do too, and I'm attracted to the bad guys too. But here's my problem with Drake. Everyone keeps saying to me, like, Drake's such a good guy. He's so nice. Like, he loves girls. He treats them good. I'm like, we've never seen Drake in a long relationship. That's worked. Yeah. Like, he sings about stuff that he wants, but then he dates, like, strippers and, like, not, you know what I mean? Like, you can find a nice stripper, but I mean, like...
Well, I guess in comparison to, like, Chris Brown, people are like, he looks great.
Right, you so, know like, I mean? But this is our standard that we're setting us
yeah,
up for.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know.
Chris Brown, yeah.
You know, it's like, at this point in your life, I feel like pull an Eve... Stop searching through the same dumpster of men and go find you someone else. Like, I totally see Rihanna
agree.
An Eve with, like, a guy from Europe who's got coin. He just jet-setting Rihanna everywhere, having her just looking real cute, dressed up everywhere.
It's true.
Like, Drake is
not. It's true. The same dumpster, though. It's true. It's the same recycle of people.
And it's like, honestly, I'm so sick of these celebrities using TMZ as a fucking reality TV production company. Like, stop it. I don't want to read about you anymore. Like, you don't need a reality show because your reality is on The Shade Room or TMZ. And it's like...
Yeah.
You out here searching for TMZ to record you? Like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting stuffed animal sharks on you so that people are talking about it? Like, really?
Yeah.
That's we've hit a new all-time low.
Yeah.
I don't have any tattoos. I have anything against people with tattoos. But, like, if you're going to get a tattoo, make it mean something to you for real.
Yeah.
Not because it's Tuesday and you felt like feeling needles on your skin and you think someone's going to pick it up for a tagline. Like, I can't.
I can't. I wouldn't know. It's not happening. I can't think of anything that I would want forever. And I'm definitely not getting anything that is of a stuffed animal.
Well, I always had the same idea in my head. I was like, the only tattoo I would get is, like, Eminem has this one and it's writing and it's right down the middle of his forearm. And so I would always think, I'm like, if I was to get one, I would get... My name in Greek means gift from God, and so I was going to get it in letters in Greek down there. But then I'm like why do I need that? Like, I know my name.
Yeah.
I don't need it to, like, and everyone's going to be like, what does that mean? It's like, I'm going to have to explain it every time, like...
No, forget
for
it.
For what?
Yeah.
For a tiny line down there. For,
yeah, no.
You know.
I mean, perhaps I should forward my condolences to Mary J. Blige's career, because there's a video that she put out... And it is for the 20th season of ABC's The Trash. I mean, The View. And it is really bad. I mean, it is really... I mean, this is like a low for anyone's career. Because you can tell there's... So basically, they're celebrating The View's 20th season, which gives me a lot more material because I talk about The View anytime I can.
Oh, well, you and Sherry Shepherd be killing me.
Oof, the worst. Just the most ignorant there is. That said, Mary J. Blige, I'm giving you the Sherry Shepherd Award.
Announcing the recipient for the Sherry Shepherd Award for excellence in ignorance.
I mean, ignorant on the basis just of the fact that this is what you're doing with your career at this point. Like, what has she put out recently? Like, what music has she done?
She put out the London Sessions, and which was actually really dope. She had a song
about
there, Therapy,
that. Oh, yeah.
On there, which is really good. Like, I mean, I love me some Mary J. I thought...
This song, though...
Here's the thing about this. First of all, you really gagged me when you sent me this, because I hadn't heard it or seen it. And when I clicked it, I was like, this is not the theme song. Like, I thought they changed the whole theme song
to that,
and I was like, stop. And then...
It's supposed to be a viral hit.
Okay. Well, first of all, none of those women are doing anything viral in that video.
Nope.
Whoopi basically set the tone. Whoopi was laid out like, I ain't dancing in this. You got me for the beginning of a call. and then you can show me at the end in the same position.
That's exactly
right. I love Whoopi. Like, Whoopi is my spirit animal in life.
She wasn't even on the set when they shot that. She was a no-show. And that's when you're like, look, if we're going to do a promo for Empire and Taraji doesn't want to do it, don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she's like an afterthought or like a guest call.
She's
like,
Whoopi.
Yeah, and she's the moderator of the show. So it was such a cheap look to have a video with all these know-nothings gyrating around a microphone.
Well, and then they're really pushing Joy in it. And I'm like, stop. Joy's like dancing, getting her life. And here's where I can picture the attempt of them pitching this. Like, you know, the views about women, Mary J. Blige, which, you know, I think this was more of a semi-try to come up with Mary. I get what Mary's camp was trying to do. Like, let's just put her voice and put her in front of people. You could have did all that with a performance on the show. We didn't need, you know.
It's not going to go viral. It's not a good look for anyone. It's not going to really do anything to promote the show. It's so tacky.
In a positive way.
Yeah. And you can tell that it was directed by someone who doesn't direct music videos. Like, a multi-camera director, because it just looked so, like a cutaway to like friggin' Raven Simone like spray painting the view on a wall. Like, what is
it? It looked like my aunt's trying to recreate Bootylicious music video. Like, it was just awkward and just like, it was one of those things. Like, I actually watched the whole thing because I was just horrified through it. Like, I was just like, what is this? Like, is that Maria? Like, who is that other girl, the girl that's never on the show, but then sometimes, and then Sunny, like, girl, I know they'd be putting you as, like, the diverse ethnic one on the show, but girl, you cannot dance. You cannot move your hips. You are a shame to the Hispanic community, girl, because that was, I don't know what you was doing.
It's just, when I saw it, I said, I have to talk about this, because I'd love to hate on that show, and that was just asking for it. I mean, this is how you're unrolling the 20th season. This.
Like, at least bring Barbara in, or Meredith, or something. I mean, don't do that, actually.
Oh,
but for the first
time, see Barbara, I'm way out. Like, the red X is, I'm done. Like, I'm way out. I can't stand her.
I love it.
I can't.
Wait, so what do you think about the panel, the View panel? What do you think about the show, period? Because I've never had this actual conversation.
Well, you've got to rewind the tapes, because I've been talking about this show for too long. But no, I mean, the show is long done.
But where do you see it
long done?
Like, if you were the producer to get your hands into the View, what would you do with it?
Put Ann Coulter on the show.
Ooh.
Hate her.
Yep.
They've given her a platform so many times, and that woman does not deserve a platform. But they do it when they need up in the ratings. Then the next week they'll put on Bill O'Reilly, and then they'll pull a stunt with him. But usually what they do is they promote it, like, Bill O'Reilly's next. You won't believe what he's going to say. And then he comes on and talks about another dead president book. Like, nothing's said. Nothing is said. So it's all promo for something that's never going to happen now. So the View is hollow. It's unless if they want to make a real big gutsy move that they're going to have to just lose advertisers with, and they're going to have to be okay with that, then never gonna be what it is. And it's time to kill the show and put something else on. 20 seasons is good enough. It's done, especially with seeing the last couple of years, the casting of who they've put on there. They're not gonna make any moves. The people they are going to be bargain basement CNN, New York-based reporters, or a local comedian, and you can't do that now.
Oh,
because
Michelle was the... I couldn't.
I tried with Michelle.
Rooting for your friend that finally made it. It's okay, girl,
yes.
And then every day I'm just like, oh, stop.
Yeah.
You're sitting next to Whoopi Goldberg. Stop trying to be funny. Just be funny. They clearly like you because you are a funny person. Just be that.
That girl got such a raw deal, though.
Yeah.
Because she was she was in the opening, full cost, and then ABC put her on one day a week until they could get her out, until the opening of her contract. I mean, that girl's on one day a week. Now, granted, she's in a much better place because she's doing her bachelor thing that she loves. But to me, I don't watch that stuff, so now I'm never going to see her.
Sorry, girl.
But I'm not going to watch The View anyway. Actually, I've been in remission. I haven't watched in, a couple months.
Okay.
I've been getting it out of my life, and my life is so much better for it because it would really make me angry.
I only watch the Hot Topics. There's something about it. And you know, another person who I keep thinking would be really stir the pot is that Tammy girl, Final Thoughts. from Fox News.
I don't watch Fox News.
I don't either, but her little things go viral, and she's just she's
maybe
a little,
I've seen her.
See you next Tuesday.
Yes, well, then
like the younger version of Ann Coulter. It would be really interesting to see her on the show.
Unless if they just throw every dollar they have at Elizabeth Hasselbeck. But I don't even.
I don't think she could say.
I don't think magic would strike twice with that either, though. They've tried. They've pulled. Look at what happened with Rosie. I mean, the worst return to television yet, and it ruined what was left of her image too. That this show will kill your career. It will kill your career. So
except Whoopi
stay
Goldberg.
Away.
Whoopi Goldberg goes in there every day, lets you know that she doesn't want to be there. And still does it, and still gets them to pay her more money.
And collects
amazing.
A huge check.
Go ahead, girl. Get it.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
And we're back talking with Jesse, and we're just talking about a ton of topics in the break. Like, we have a lot to say. A lot of people, a lot of names being thrown down at the table here. So let's talk a little bit more about you and what you're doing out here. An East Coast guy, grew up kind of in the same neck of the woods that I did, really.
Yeah, you were so, where?
Rhode Island, but a bunch of family in Massachusetts, so it's just back and forth and all that. So when you went to school in New York, right?
Yep.
So, what brought you out to LA versus staying in New York? I ask this question to a lot of people, especially East Coasters, because I always wonder, like, why I'm here and not in New York myself.
Well, so I went to school in New York, and then I ended up moving back from New York to Boston. So I got jumped by a gang in New York, and it was really traumatic. They, like, left my body on the train tracks.
Oh, shit. Wow. And, like, okay, so, well, then you're done with that.
Yeah, so it was like, okay, I'm going to leave New York for right now and just get my mind together.
Okay.
So I moved back home, and then it was like I went through, like, this depression thing, and my mom had started an accounting firm. And so I worked for her, and I started, like, you know, just doing office management, then became a bookkeeper, and then was going to go for my CPA license. And Maria was in town. Maria Menounos was in town, and I hadn't seen her in years. But her and my mom were... she knew my mom could sing really well. So they were filming this movie called Cereal Buddies. And they wanted to have the whole church choir from back in the day get together, and she wanted my mom to sing this part. So my mom was like, just come, because I'd been talking about going to visit California. And so she was like, just come and, you know, just ask Maria, like, hey, can we grab lunch or something? I was like, okay. So I went, and that's kind of sort of what happened. Like, I pulled Maria aside, and at that time I hadn't come out to anybody. And I was looking for a mentor to kind of guide me through all the stuff that I had kind of been through in New York, finally coming out. Like, because when I lived in New York, it was like, okay, I could be me, I could be free. And so Maria, I felt like my mom would always be like, don't tell anyone in the family because Greeks are, like, weird about that. So with Maria, I was like, you know what? She's in entertainment. I feel like if I just say this to her, she'll get me. She'll, you know, she won't go telling people. And I literally pulled Maria aside. I was like, I haven't seen you in years, but I just have to tell you. And I literally ran through, like, everything that had happened in a 10-year span. And she just dropped her mouth, and she was like, what? She's like, you can't sit in a cubicle. I was like, all I want is just to come have dinner with you or lunch or something and just ask you some questions about New York. Because at that time, I was like, I'm going to move to California and be the best DJ in the world. And she had told me about AfterBuzz. And then the next day, I met up with Kevin. And Maria didn't know that he was going to do this, but he was like, you're moving out there. He was like, pack up your car,
move
out here, and we're going to put you up in a house, even if you have to sleep in the garage. We're going to find a place for you to live, and we're going to feed you, and you know what? You're just going to help build this company. And so I ended up driving out there, like, a couple weeks later with, like, $300 and, like, all right, well, here I go. And like, some birthday Visa cards that I had had. And so, I drove out here and moved into the house, and we started AfterBuzz.
That's it. So you were at the original house?
Yes.
Wow. So yeah, so definitely from the, like, I guess from the beginning. What was the stage like of AfterBuzz at that point?
At that point, it was just a room. Like, they had just built this engineer booth that they were playing with. And it was, like, on Blog Talk Radio. We were each, mm-hmm. like, there were only, like, the three shows, I think it was Gossip Girl, Jersey Shore, and Breaking Bad. And mm-hmm. they were just Blog Talk Radios. You literally would just walk in the room. It looked like a PB. It was horrid. It was
really?
Like this black painted wall. And so with like these red cushions. And then they had blue ones at one point. Like it was just disgusting.
Was it just audio back then?
Yeah, it was just audio. And our shows mm-hmm. were 2.5 hours long.
Oh,
like
wow.
each. And we did the game from BET's
oh,
the
yeah.
game. Or at that time, what was it? UPN? And so.
Wow, all those shows are gone now.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
We did that. And it mm-hmm. would be like 2.5 hours. And it was like, I was an engineer at first. And how I became a host was I would start you sitting in an engineer booth listening to these people talk about shows you've never heard before. It's like, okay, so I would start creating segments for them. Like,
yeah.
okay, the guys versus the girls. And then it would be like, I would start jumping in and hosting. I would be like kind of like the overall voice through all the shows.
Yeah.
And then we were like, let's get it on video. So then we added video to it and we figured out how to do video. I would host from the booth and it was just a very great learning experience.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of changes. I thought I had, but not like that.
I was like, to
yeah.
see it go from a bedroom to what it is
where
now
it
is just
yeah.
crazy. Like, from
yeah.
especially just Blog Talk Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. And it's always like that quality. It's
yeah.
like, what is this? Like, wait, is this like from the 30s? Like, what's coming on? Yeah, I know.
Are they
yeah,
trying to be worldly
thing.
With this voice? Right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah. Trying to appeal to international audience. I went Jersey Shore. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So you do a lot of different things, as many people on this show do. But what is your secret to balancing everything? So you stand up, hosting, being at AfterBuzz. I mean, how many days a week are you at AfterBuzz?
Almost really like 5 at least.
Yeah.
Now. I'm attempting to cut back. It's hard because it's like, as I'm growing, like, I never looked at it. Like, I'm not out here trying to be something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Is, like, all these things I just do because it's, like,
that's how I feel.
I just love doing them. Like,
that's exactly
I love DJing,
I feel, yeah.
you know what I mean? For me, though, where I came out here and thought I was going to be DJing, I've been doing this for years, and it's, like, New York, imagine taking your turntables and speakers and carrying them through subways. Like, I always say, like, it's God, like, that I was never jumped for that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, all the time, all these guys got, when I did get mugged, was a bag of weed that I had in my pocket.
Yeah.
Like, all these times I had thousands of dollars of equipment, no one ever, people helped me, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, coming out here, you see your life shifts. And so I would say my balance is shifts, is seasonal. It's that sometimes I'll do stand-up comedy, and if it's not working out right now, or if it seems like, okay, I'm not trying to be out this late at night, I
mm-hmm.
have too much going on during the day, then I'll put the stand-up stuff aside for a couple months and come back to it. DJing
yeah.
is the same thing. Like, I just got to a point where it was like, out here, I mean, I've already played with the kids before. I don't need to be on a flyer and paid $250, like, because someone's going to do it for $200. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, I'm at a point in my life, I'm 31 today, where I want to do the things that make me happy and help support and pour into me. So it's like, for me, DJing a wedding makes me way more money than DJing a club. Yeah, sure,
mm-hmm.
I'm not on a cool flyer, but at this point in my life, I don't need that.
You don't need
like,
it.
That's not a payment
yeah.
to me. So it's like, the DJing thing, I've had to like learn how to balance that out. Because it's hard, because at first I started out doing it a lot out here, and that's why the DJ Jesse J stuck with AfterBuzz.
Yeah.
And so it was like, okay, do I keep that now? And it's kind of like, I never wanted to be the reason my name was DJ Jesse was because I never wanted to create an alter ego. I'm very about, like, here who is who
yeah.
I am, raw, like, unfiltered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, that's where I balance with, like, DJ Jesse J, Jesse Janity, who is each one.
Yeah.
So with DJ Jesse J is this alter ego that I've created, I guess, for AfterBuzz. In the 45 minutes people see me when I have to be hyper as hell and
yeah.
turned up, that is DJ Jesse J.
I got it. Now, where does the stand-up Jesse fit in? And how did that all come about?
Stand-up came in because in college I've always been a creative thinker, and I loved making people laugh. Growing up, like, it would be like I would lock myself in my bedroom and play Ellen or Margaret Cho or all these different comedians, Jamie Foxx, Jim Carrey, and I would mimic their stand-up. I would just sit in front of a mirror and I would pretend I was a stand-up comedian, and I would hit all the timings, and I would just pay attention to all that stuff. Because I would, growing up, I would always create skits. I loved putting productions on to make people laugh. And the stand-up came from, I had gone through some stuff in New York, and I just was not happy in school. I ended up dropping out of school. I had met, Caroline Ray.
Yeah.
I met her best friend, and I was just telling her about, I met her best friend because I had a cousin who was doing stand-up comedy out there, and I was just looking for a mentor. My whole life is just chasing to find someone who can be like, what am I supposed to do? So yeah. I found my cousin who would bring me around to all these comedy places, and like, you know, I'm the cool older cousin and yada yada yada. And so one time I did an open mic, and just randomly, like, she was just like, hey, get up and do something. And so I did it, and it actually turned out really well, and Caroline Ray's best friend was in the audience, and she came up to me afterwards and was like, who are you? Like, what was that? Like, what did you just do on stage? Because yeah. I just went ham. And yeah. There were some comedians there that started kind of looking at me a little like, wait a minute, you know, he just did the open mic thing. Mm-hmm. And so this woman actually had a class that she taught, so she was like, if you want. I was like, oh girl, I can't afford that, I'm paying off my student loans right now. Mm-hmm. So she let me do the class for free, which was really cool, and I got like my first big thing was at Caroline's comedy club. So in New York, stand-up was really cool because it was like, wow, I can make money off this, like,
really,
like a career off this. And whereas like there were certain, but that's why I got out of it for a while, because it was very like, there's a lot of haters. There's like people who will be like, yeah, come do this show with us. And then you get there and they like, you bring all these people and then they give you like 3 minutes at the very end, mm-hmm. or they don't even let you perform because they invite all their friends because you brought a whole group of people there, and mm-hmm. then they're all performing in front. So I had dropped out of school because I was making money off of this, and I was like, well, shit, fuck this. I can just sit and talk shit all the time. Cool. Yeah. And then the mugging thing happened. My mom found out that I had dropped out of college and was really irritated with me. And so I moved back home and had to get my life together and reset myself. And so that's where AfterBuzz, I'd stopped because I had been in that depression. And I couldn't find the funny in things anymore. It was like, mm-hmm. yeah. Like nothing made me laugh. And then AfterBuzz, I definitely would give this the credit, is what gave me that spirit back. Because it's like for 45 minutes, you have to entertain people.
Yep.
And I cannot, like the shows that I do are all trash reality shows. So it's like the things that come to my mind are jokes because it's like, this can't be real.
Yeah, I credit AfterBuzz the same thing, because I walk in there sometimes and I had some horrible jobs. And like, I have always felt bad for my co-hosts because I would dump on them like all this, like, I didn't know. I was like, I literally, like, I remember like sitting, you know, you sit down at the table, you get ready to go, and I'm like, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. And then it goes on, and then you completely leave yourself to do it.
Yep.
It just comes natural. And then at the end, you're just elevated, and then you get back in your car, and you're kind of like, oh, wait, wait. What do I have to do now? Yeah. But it really has helped me as well. It's just get wading through the bullshit.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I can relate to all that. Yeah. So tell me about this new visual podcast that you're putting together.
So I've actually been working on a show for about 2.5 years. And because within AfterBuzz, everyone would always be like, Jesse, what are you going to do? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I have like 4 jobs outside of this. Like, what am I going to do? Like, I don't have time to do anything else but this. Like, AfterBuzz was always fun for me. It was never like, I'm doing AfterBuzz to start a career.
Same. I didn't go in there thinking I was going to be on E! News. Like, I always had jobs in reality TV or doing other things. That was always just for fun.
Friends. Yeah. And it was like this place like... Because it's like, a lot of times, like, it's like, oh, Grant, like, let's hang out. It's hard to hang out because I'm either broke and can't afford to go hang out, or I'm working. It's like the only place that I could really meet with people was this designated time, 45 minutes of doing Love and Hip Hop or doing whatever Real Housewives. And it's like, but those are my girls. These are my friends that I get this 45 minutes.
Exactly.
And that's enough for us to like before and after have a little kiki, be like, how you been? How you been? Catch up on all the bullshit this week. All right. See you next week. And it's like the best relax ever. Like, so my Sunday, people always are like, why do you do this one show on Sunday? Because it is my escape. It is just, I feel good after it. I don't love the topics that we're talking about, but the people and just what it is. Like, that is just been epic. So, within all that, I have all these amazing kids that hit me up and like, they be reading into too much on AfterBuzz. They're like, I could tell you were going through something that day, Jesse. Or like, they're like searching through Instagram and like telling me how I'm relating to their lives and like how I've helped them and all this stuff. And so like, yeah, and that's been the most amazing thing because it's like I've been through so much bullshit and drama and I've had the most malicious people come into my life and do crazy things.
You've lived a full life.
I have lived a full life. And so when these kids hit me up, my whole thing is everyone's like, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? The only thing I really want to do and make sure that happens in life is that kids know whatever information and emotions that I've experienced and that they, out of that, will help them and benefit them. I just want to be that role model and inspiration because if I have some information and I'm looking at bullshit and all that and I can stop that. I used to work for the Boys and Girls Club, so I have this really tender thing in my heart for kids. So this podcast, basically, that I was working on didn't work out because of that exact reason. I had a bunch of friends in my life that were just kind of waiting for something to happen in my life so that something in their life could happen. And it was kind of like, oh, Jesse, you're going to make it. You're going to blow up. You're going to all these things. And it was like, okay, cool. Like, I should be working on a show for myself. Like, here's my idea. And it was just kind of turned into like, okay, life shit happens and you go through certain stuff with certain people and it just wasn't a positive time for it. So within all of that, I had gotten fired from a job. I had like paid off like $1,400 worth of electricity bills because someone didn't pay them. You know, but that's a different story for a different friend. And then, you know, you find out things like, oh, Los Angeles doesn't send out parking tickets if they don't put it on top of your car. So you just kind of have to figure out 4 or 5 years later that you owe them $900 and can't get your California license. So a lot of things had happened, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like,
never easy out here.
Emotions. People don't talk about emotions. I'm out here at all these Hollywood things. Like, I have a hard time connecting with people because I'll sit and just start talking to somebody. Because never in my mind do I think, oh, I'm going to talk to you and you're going to take this information and you're going to do something malicious with it.
Right.
I love people. I love hearing their story. I love hearing where they come from. I love hearing what's going on in their life. Even if I never talk to you again, if we create this moment and we can better each other in that moment and be open with each other and honest, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend just because you see me on, it amazes me that the fact people see me on a YouTube show and think that I have who I am and all this money.
Yeah.
Just because I'm standing next to Jennifer Lopez don't mean I have Jennifer Lopez money. Okay. At all. I pulled up in a brave little toaster looking car, dusty, at that hotel. Okay. So it's like things like that. It amazes me, and I want kids to know, like, don't look at these people on Instagram and on TV lying to you, like Nene Leakes and things like that. She's out here struggling. She out here, she looked that good because guess what? She's befriended 4 gay people and convinced them that if they work and do all this stuff, they're going to get something.
And she's in a borrowed dress and a leased BMW, you know, barely making the payments.
That's where it is. So the podcast is, well, it was supposed to come out at the end of this week because for my birthday. That's like my whole thing was like, okay, by my birthday. It was supposed to come out this week, but because of iTunes settings, it's going to come out next week.
No, I know how that is.
So it's called Mood Swings, and it's all about emotion. It's all about everyday life. It's not celebrity driven. There will be celebrity portions involved in it. But it is an online podcast, and it will have a visual element to it on my YouTube channel. And so we're just starting off slow, working with it. And if you've ever watched it, AfterBuzz, Courtney Stewart is my co-host in it. Because ever since moving here, I've always gotten that, Jesse, you have this Howard Sternness about you. And I would always joke and call Courtney my Robin. Mm-hmm. And so it's so funny that it just took this one specific day to just break this vision that I had for this other show that I had. And all these emotions and segments just started coming to me. I'm like psycho. Like, I can like, what's your name? What do you do? I can talk to you and then create an entire show based off of you. Yeah. But I wasn't doing it for myself. I was doing it for everybody else. And it just, but these shows that like I'm working on, they come to me in dreams and like so vivid. And so this one has come to me in dream. Mood Swings, I'm very excited about. You can actually, I started the Instagram account. You can follow Next Mood Swing. And it's just a place for all of us to be able to vent, talk about deep shit, if you got a problem or an issue going on.
Yeah.
You know, and so I know it's going to take a while before I can bring the celebrities, because I know a lot of celebrities are like, I ain't talking about certain
stuff. Yeah.
So, but I feel like they'll feel, they'll understand it's a non-malicious, it's a safe place to just talk about emotion. And a lot of it came from AfterBuzz and the fact of I would watch Love & Hip Hop every week. And I'm like, kids are just watching this shit. And they think that this is really life. And I love Mona Scott for creating that because I watch it every week, you know. But at the same time, I feel like there needs to be a discussion. A safe discussion explaining why these things are wrong or why maybe this person did that. You know what I mean? Like, and really putting the context for kids to understand that. And I feel like we've gotten so far away from even caring to do that. It's like, well, fuck it. This will get views. Let's just put that on TV.
Right.
It's television. It's not the internet. Mm-hmm. Like, put some responsibility in your work.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at right now. And I think it's going to shock a lot of people because I think a lot of people only know me for talking those 45 minutes. Like,
Yeah, the highlights. But this is going to be a deep dive.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, you want to see what Jesse's really about and why I talk the way I talk? Well, here you go.
Yeah.
I have mood swings.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, what an interesting story. I mean, by no means has anything in your life ever made you feel like you've fallen victim to anything and feel bad for yourself. You've turned everything into the life that you've created for yourself now. That's what this show is about. It's super inspiring for people to listen to. It's like this show is about that hustle that you have to be able to get anything made for yourself.
Yep.
And you've definitely made your own way.
Honey, I'm building. I'm trying. I'm down here with the cement and the sun.
Yeah, I hear you. Exactly. Anything else you want to promote?
I mean, no, just, hey, follow me. I got a website that I built all by myself because no one wanted to help me with that.
Oh,
JesseJanity.com.
It looks good. I actually was on it. Yeah, I looked it over. Yeah, it looks good. It's not like a token, like, host, like,
and I, that's you know why I mean? Specific, because I, yeah. I paid somebody, and it was like, what they gave me, I was like, okay, I could have went on Wix and picked the template too. Like,
come on,
you know, so it was like, I really took time, y'all, and went on Photoshop, learned how to do Photoshop, and I have this whole thing, I see life as a comic, but like as a cartoon. Like, I Doug Funny is my spirit animal.
Okay,
after Whoopi Goldberg. And so I just see life as a cartoon, and like I just take everybody that I meet as a cartoon, their story, their struggle, and I guess that's how I get through life, because it's just, it's a cartoon, it's happy all the time, even when we go through the bullshit, you know? So yeah, that's really
that.
It. But Mood Swings, it's coming. Stay
tuned. Mood Swings, yeah, check it out. It's going to be on iTunes.
Yep, and Grant going to be coming on the show too, giving his Mood Swing.
Oh, I'll be doing that. Yeah, I have a lot to say. I'll tell you how I really feel. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for even thinking of having me.
Of course, we could go on for another couple hours. So you'll have to come back and do a panel. Later this month, Grant's Rants will be premiering as an original program over on BidChat live stream app with a charity aspect to it. So definitely go and download that app. It's out now. They're doing a lot of tests. There's things to see. So definitely check it out. I will be announcing formally when my first air date will be. Right now, we're looking at Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it's going to be the same show with a little different, a couple of things to it. It's a little remixed. And you can also get the show the day after on iTunes. So if you're subscribed to the show, you will continue to hear it. You'll continue to be part of it. And keep an eye open for that on social media. And I'll be shouting it out on the next show. Thanks for coming back and listening to the show after a long break, but we're on now with two shows coming up per week, so there's a lot to look forward to with Grant's Rants. Jesse, thanks for coming in. Have a good birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson.